really interesting, isn't it? I knew that I was going to preach back in at the beginning of the term, and I was praying, and God really spoke to me clearly. I feel a bit boomy, Cam, about what I should talk about. And then you come to the worship, and the worship is all about God's love and God's kindness. And actually, that's what I'm preaching. That's what I really felt God wanted me to talk about. And so the verse that I wanted to start with is this verse in Romans 8, verse 37 to 39, which talks about nothing being able to separate us from the love of God. And it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." And it sounds great, doesn't it? I love it. But I want to look today at some of the things that can make us feel that we are separate from God's love, and what to do when we get into that place, really. I saw this quote on Facebook the other day, and it says, "Life is amazing, and then it's awful, and then it's amazing again, and in between the amazing and the awful is ordinary and mundane and routine. Breathe in the amazing, hold on through the awful, and relax and exhale during the ordinary. That's just living, heartbreaking, soul-healing, amazing, awful, ordinary life, and it's breathtakingly beautiful." And I thought, really? I thought, it kind of sounds nice. It's a bit nice. But I thought, no wonder people get stressed if that's the best that the world can offer. Enjoy the good bits, hold your teeth through when it's like just ordinary, and grit your teeth and hold on till the next good bit comes along. Because, you know, that's just not good enough, is it? Because life can be pretty rubbish. You know, people get ill, loved ones die, we get sick, there's war and upheaval and uncertainty. You know, you don't want to turn the news on, do you, if that's all you've got? Political turmoil, rubbish. Don't worry, the world says, though. Just keep holding on till your next good bit comes, and hopefully that'll make it all better. Well, you know, really, I don't think life works like that. You know, most of you will know that my dad died this year, and, you know, that made me really sad. I'm not just gritting my teeth now and waiting for a good thing to happen, you know, so that I can get back on with my life, or until something really amazing comes along to enjoy. I know that I've got a process of grieving to go through, and that sometimes I'm going to be sad. And, you know, I just think that that's okay. That's part of life. But what I'm doing in that is holding on to God's love in my life and reminding myself of his goodness in bad times and good times, and entering his peace to help me get through. You know, I've made an active decision to look to God to help me through the hard stuff. And, you know, we're all really different, aren't we? I want you to take a moment just to think of the things that cause you to feel that you're getting separated from God, the things that make you feel like you're just barely holding on to God by your fingertips, you know, the things that make you anxious and worried and down and outside of really grasping his peace and love. There's a few obvious things, aren't there, that cause us to feel like that. You know, sin, family, circumstances, relationships, money, housing, job, health. That's just a very small few. But just, I don't know what it is for you today. If I'm really honest, work can do it for me sometimes. You know, I love teaching, but it is busy at the best of times. And I love just being in the classroom. Every year they say, "What would you like to do?" I say, "I just want to be a class teacher. I don't want to do anything else, actually. I just want to have my 30 children and do that." But then they say, "No, I'm sorry, it's time we come and observe you." Or actually, it's appraisal time. Or, "Can we have your pupil progress data? Could we have it this lunchtime?" And honestly, it makes me a bit anxious. It makes me cross. It can make me tired. It makes me feel fed up. And in those moments, I don't always feel or see much of Jesus's love in the busyness of life's demands. I feel the hard work that life can be. But God says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So I want to look at, what I want to look at is, in the turmoil of life, how do we get there? So recently, for my daily quiet times, I've been reading a series of devotions written by Oswald Chambers, and it's called Peace, Life in the Spirit, and it's on my phone app. And it's great. I did the whole Bible in a year. Gosh, that takes 5 chapters some days. That's too much. You know, I've got It's really. Anyway, I did it and I stuck with it and I was very glad I did it. But this is really nice. This is like a verse or two verses and then a tiny devotion. And it's been really, I've loved it actually. It's only been a 30-day one. But so some of the quotes that I've got come from Oswald Chambers' thoughts. So it makes me look really learned, doesn't it? But I'm being honest, it came from the Bible app. So do you feel a separation from God? And we know that it doesn't come from him, because he promises that nothing can separate us from his love. So what are the things that we need to do to get back to a place where we feel God's love and know it in our hearts? So the first thing we need to do is to turn our gaze onto Jesus. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." And Oswald Chambers writes this lovely quote. He says, "No matter how complicated the circumstances may be, one moment of contact with Jesus and the fuss is gone. The panic is gone. All shallow emptiness is gone. And his peace is put in. Absolute tranquility. Because nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord." And we need to really actively look to God. And you know, it can be surprisingly hard to do when you're anxious or busy. But you need to take the time and work out what it is for you that helps you get to that place of seeing God. So for me, I know worship is a key time. Like if I miss Sunday morning, I really feel, gosh, where's God? Because actually declaring out truth in corporate songs, it helps me to see and feel and know God's love. But also reading, even just reading the verse of the day, you know, that's really helpful. Or praying as I walk with the dogs, or talking to God as I'm driving along, you know, quite a bad driver, I think. But anyway, these are good times. You know, there are times when we actively look to God and letting God know what I'm thinking and feeling. And you know that when I'm praying, I'm not always very polite, actually. If I'm honest, there's times when I'm grumbling and I'm moaning and I'm complaining and I'm whinging. And I do talk sensibly and I do pray to him. But actually, I see no point in turning to God and then not telling him what's going on in my heart. You know, it's that heart-to-heart connection that's really important. And we need to get really real with God and say, actually, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I'm thinking, this is what's going wrong. God, you need to come in and bring your peace. And my second point is that we need to allow his peace to rule, and we need to ask God for it if it's not. So Colossians 3 verse 15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." And Philippians 4 verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then Oswald Chambers says this lovely thing, "Reflected peace is the greatest evidence that I am right with God. Are you painfully disturbed just now?" I love that. "Do you still find no well of peace or comfort or joy? Is all barren? Then look up and receive the undisturbedness of our Lord Jesus Christ. In all the facts of war and pain and difficulties, he reigns peaceful." You know, nothing is disturbing the Lord. And it's not that he doesn't care, but he knows that he is reigning. And we need to ask God for his peace when we don't experience ourselves. We need to ask him to come and to give him his peace. You know, sometimes it's a peace that the world doesn't give. It's a peace that he gives. And we need to ask God for it. And then Philippians 4 verse 6 says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but present your requests to God." And then it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds." We have a very good God who loves us. Let's not wallow in our worry, but turn our worries to prayer. I did wonder, actually, I was thinking of a time when, just when I was reading through this again this morning, and we were really poor when we first got married. And then when we had kids, I gave up work and we were even poorer. And it was really hard work. And I remember driving up to see my mum one weekend, and some of you I've told this story to, and I was really moaning. I was really moaning to God and saying, "God, I don't know, what are we going to do?" And I really wanted God to just give me £1,000. If I'm really honest, that's what I wanted. I wanted a check through the door, £1,000, sorted. But what happened is I went home and I chatted to my mum. She said, "Oh, let's go shopping." And we went to she goes to the market and she bought her fruit and veg. And then she said, "Oh, well, let's see what..." she bought me some kiddies' clothes. for Lauren at the time. And then we went home and she opened up her toy box. She was a childminder. She said, "What do you need?" And I just took stuff from, and I just felt like sometimes, you know, when we're worrying, we're not asking God to actually, we're not actually asking God to meet our needs. We've got a way that we think he's going to meet them. And God says, "No, I'm going to do something else." And what God reminded me as well was that he puts you in family, and that's really important. And, you know, sometimes our family is going to be the way that, and our wider family is going to be the way that God comes alongside us to answer our needs. My third point is that we need to be right with God. Oh, these are probably in no particular order, actually. And we need to walk in the way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And Jesus is not just the entry point that gets us saved. Jesus is the way itself. You know, he shows us how to live, and by living in the right way, how to enter into a place of peace and holiness and eternal life. How we live, what we say, what we do is really important. And I just felt to say today, don't live with sin and don't live with the stuff that compromises you. Deal with it, ask God for his forgiveness. Maybe you need to change some stuff and move on without it, leave it behind. Allow his Holy Spirit to change your heart and to change how you think and how you do life. And then, you know, as you walk in faith over many years, the stuff doesn't always go away, or the stuff changes, and God's going to dealing with more and more of his stuff because he's in a process of making us holy, isn't he? So that if there's still stuff coming, that's good. That's because God's about showing you how to live. One of the other things I wanted to share is another bit of testimony. And when the kids were really little, I used to get really angry with them. And I think it's because actually it's really frustrating, the things that you can't change. And children are not actually an extension of yourself. Did you know that? And they are not. And your will, their will, is not an extension of your will. And you know, they have their own thoughts, their own minds. They're fun and funny, but disobedient and annoying. They never shut up. I mean, maybe your children do. No, mine did as well. They were lovely. You know, but they are. They are lovely. Well, you know, one day when I got really angry with them at bedtime, I just thought, you know, actually, I've got to ask God to change my heart, and I've got to ask God to do it, and I've got to ask God to cut off the anger, because actually it was really sinful and it wasn't helpful. And actually I looked at my kids' faces when I was shouting and screaming, and I thought, wow, I am not modeling a good way to live. And I just had to ask, I just had to say, "God, I am so sorry. I cannot do it anymore. I've tried to do it myself. I've tried to be super patient, but actually I need your supernatural patience, and I need your supernatural." And actually I needed to ask God to cut off the anger. And it was a really important day, and I do know that something really changed that day. God dealt with my anger in a way that I couldn't. And so I think, you know, let's get right with God. Let's get him to sort out the stuff that isn't right and try and work and move on without it, really. And my fourth point is that we need to truly grasp the depth of his loving kindness to us. So this was what I really felt when I was asking God, "What shall I preach on?" He just said, you know, "Talk about my loving kindness and my grace." So I looked up the verses about God's loving kindness in the Bible, and it's probably specifically mentioned about 30 times. And I really like loving kindness, because I think we get a bit muddled with love. Love is like erotic love or sexual love or romantic love in this world. And actually, somehow loving kindness somehow talks to my heart more clearly about God's heart for us, what it means when he says he loves us. So there's about six or so verses that talk about God's loving kindness. It saves us. Titus 3, verse 4 to 6. "When the kindness of God, our Saviour, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us." And then Ephesians 2, verse 7, "so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." You know that God has done it, so we don't have to keep trying to do it to make ourselves right. You know, we can't do it. We only have the cross. Let's trust in his loving kindness to us in the cross. It keeps us in relationship with him. Nehemiah 9, verse 17, "But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake us. Pete said the other week that God is not only our Lord and our Father, but it's also our brother and our friend. And, you know, he wants relationship with us. And will we take that step towards him today and say, yeah, come on, God, I want to be in relationship. Isaiah 54 verse 8 says, with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you. God has compassion to us. If you feel like it's too much today, if you feel like you're not in a great place, then keep looking to God because he has compassion to you. He doesn't give up on us. His kindness cannot be shaken. Isaiah 54 says, though the hills may shake, my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken. His loving kindness is constant. And then Psalm 36 verse 7, he becomes our place of refuge. How precious is your loving kindness. The children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. When we face difficulties, God is a place to run to and a place to hide in. And then going alongside that is his loving kindness is for us in our greatest need. Psalm 31 verse 21, he has made marvellous his loving kindness in a besieged city. You know, when the world bombards us, when our kids bombard us, when circumstances bombard us, then let's run to his loving kindness. We do need God's kindness. Do you know, the thing that I've learnt is that we're not supposed to be independent of God. Our upbringing often trains us to be independent. I was trained to be independent, to grow up, to go to university, to get a job, to stand on my own two feet, to not come back and expect too much. Although there was always in the context of love. But that was kind of how I feel that I was brought up. To stand on my own two feet, not even really needing family or friends or wider community. And do you know, that's not actually what God models to us. God models the Trinity, doesn't it? Interdependence of the God the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. And actually God wants us, as we mature in him, to stay dependent on him. And we can only do it within the grasping his kindness to us, I think. My final point is that we also have a responsibility to the world, especially to a world that thinks, grit your teeth in hard circumstances until you see a better day. And Jerry said the verse actually in 2 Corinthians 3 that we with unveiled faces reflect the glory of our God and we have been transformed into his glory. As God shows his loving kindness to us, we're called to show it to the world that there is a better way and it's his way. And I wanted to really encourage you this week to ask God to give you opportunities to show the world our unveiled face, which should reflect his glory and his goodness, which should show his kindness to the world, you know, with our friends, our family, our children, our colleagues. You know, it's really good to... what it looks like for you might look very different to what it looks like for me. For me, it often looks like just being kind, you know, saying a kind word, trying to encourage somebody. But for you, it might be, you might be bolder than me. You might be asking God, have I got a word for someone? Can I step out? You know, Anella's really challenging with speaking to somebody on the train. That's amazing. But, you know, let's show people our unveiled faces, the love of God to us. Our verse said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I think we just really need to take a moment this morning to pray for people that need God's peace and loving kindness today. And I was going to invite the band to come back, but I wanted us to stand up, if that's all right. I want to, let's just, you know, turn our faces to God. And I want to, whatever you need to do that, ask God to give you his peace, maybe to forgive you the rubbish and the sin, maybe to really to grasp some of the truth that he is completely for you and that his loving kindness to you can never be shaken. And also let's ask God to give us opportunities to reflect God to those people around us and to show them Jesus in the way we do life. And I don't know. think our band's not here, so that's fine. I'm just going to pray. Father, I just want to ask that you would come this morning, Lord, that you would come and you would touch our hearts afresh. Lord, I thank you that actually our worship time and the preach is all about your goodness to us and your grace. And God, I know that you want to do a work in our hearts. And Lord, you want to come and you want to come into kind of some loneliness and some pain today, and you want to bring just release, Father, and a sense of the goodness of God. We got something that we can sing. It'd be good. When we're singing, if you know that you need God to touch you today, and actually it's good to pray like this, but sometimes you know you need God to cut something off over you. And I really want to encourage you to come to the front and don't go from here with stuff still unresolved, but ask God to come in and to give you his peace.